Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. It's your boy TP Thomas back in his kitchen getting stuff brewed, right, and ready for the week of August 14th, 2016. Welcome back to the Sunday Morning Brunch. We got you for the next 90 minutes, but a lot of stuff to jump into. I feel some type of way. I got a lot of dishes loaded here in Sports City. So I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. Welcome back to the kitchen.
Oh, welcome to Sports City. TP Thomas is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Thomas holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to back rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning.
It's a Sports City chef with Sunday the Brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
Kick back, relax, enjoy everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark, the Moses, and TP Thomas.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, and 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.
The caller number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. And like I said, this is the going into, what, the third week? We could say this is officially the third week. I really like to say the second week, adding on the third week. Well, however, we are at the midway point of the month of August, and I'm not going to lie, I can't wait till this August leaves. It has been blazing hot out here with the humidity, and you know, the weather's been reading 88, 86 degrees, but the humidity out here has been making it feel like 94 to like 96. And it just makes you feel disgusting. You're sweating all crazy. So I'm a fall guy. I love the fall. And the fall guy, I mean, that phrase is thrown around. So they get to throw this stuff at me, you know. So that phrase is kind of fitting. But I like the bird month, September, October, November, December. When it gets cooler, a lot of the cool sports start to come back. And we already got one that's back here underway. But let me get into it. I got my co-host, my brother Tommy B, in the building. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm okay. Man, stop your bitching and whining about it. It feels like 90-some degrees. Brother, Sports City, here in the DMV, anywhere the temperature is anywhere between 95 to 96, with the heat index sometimes as high as 110. So stop your whining. It is hot up down here in the DMV. Now, since Tom missed it, I guess he might have forgot about it. We have been away for a while. Rest in peace to John Saunders. I remember being a kid growing up and watching him on ESPN, football, sometimes baseball, hockey. We lost a good one. Well, I believe it was Friday, Thursday. He was a great one. ESPN lost by one, a very good one. Rest in peace, John Saunders.
Yeah, I definitely didn't want to overlook that fact. Rest in peace, shout out to John Saunders. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to sit here and tell you the truth, Sports City. He inspired me to talk sports. I'm not going to lie. John Saunders inspired me to talk sports. I can't even lie. Just knowing how he did it to the essence of not always being, you know, confrontational, just shooting it from the hip, and how he wanted to say it. So it's like, just like Tommy said, we lost a good one. A lot of people knew that he was dealing with an ailment, but the death was so unexpected. It was just like a blowback weight situation. And knowing that he's from Canada, but, you know, had a lot of things going on right here in the state of Connecticut, I don't want to take anything away from him. So I you know, I'm going to do this properly and give him the moment of silence like he deserves here in the kitchen. Rest in peace to John Saunders. Okay, now, let's get into it. Now, first and foremost, before I even get into this, it wasn't like I was competing or saying that it was hotter here or hotter where you are, so on and so forth. I just don't like the heat. I like when it's the fall. I can put sleeves on. I can put a coat on and kick it, you know. And like I said, the humidity out here is absolutely disgusting. They had a concert out here the other day, and it was raining, and it was so hot. The girl was sweating in the rain and rubbed against me, and it just felt disgusting. Like, I was disgusted how nasty it was out here. But nevertheless, I'm not competing. Like I said, I know it's disgusting out here. I do not like the summer like that, not one bit. Only thing about the summer that's cool is we get to go chill outside. But, you got to pick your poison. Do you want to be outside or be in air conditioning? I'd rather be in air conditioning. I'm a polar bear. Okay, so we got a lot of stuff to jump into. I do want to get into a little baseball before I start jumping into the thick of things. So I got Tommy here. First and foremost, I mean, unless people are under a rock or not paying attention to anything, as of Friday, that was the last game that we've seen Alex Rodriguez play in the major league. Now, they're saying that he's going to be an advisor for the New York Yankees, and of course I think that he should have some type of job in the league or be some type of whatever he would like to be, because he has a great baseball mind at the end of the day. I bring this question to the kitchen and want to see how you feel about this. Do you think the Yankees should let him participate for the remainder of the season? Now, the reason why I say this is because I actually started thinking about this in the game that they played, and I don't feel like that should be the end of A-Rod's career. Like, on a Friday, immediately, effective, like, they still have half of August and all of September to play, and he doesn't even get a little farewell tour, no nothing. It just shut him down, and I know that they think that he's not able to go, but he came up with a hit in the game. He actually went out there and fielded. To me, I bring this to the kitchen personally. People that are out here in this area that know me know that I am not a Yankee supporter. I am not a Yankee lover. I cannot stand the Yankees. But I at least feel like they should at least go out there and let them play. They had an interview with Joe Girardi. Joe Girardi started breaking down and got emotional for him. Knowing a lot of people that are out here that are diehard Yankees fans actually felt some type of way. And I actually threw this question at them, too. And they actually said, you know what, A-Rod should be able to play, even though they don't give him the full, duration of playing throughout the week. I feel like he should get the farewell tour and get the right respect around the league. Just to shut him down in the middle of New York and that's that. I feel like he came to the league at 18 years old. He should see the same door like him at 41, walking out the door, just like he opened the door when he came in at 18. But maybe you feel different. Maybe other people feel different. I know people that I spoke with about this feel a certain way, and a lot of people feel the same way that I feel. Tommy, your thoughts on A-Rod's retirement. Do you think that he should be able to play until the end of the season at least?
Let me break it down for you, Timeless. This egotistic, steroid lying fuck made his bed, he can lie in his bed. He wants to sue baseball. He wants to lie to the Yankees organization. Well, guess what? They're going to be like, okay, you think you hurt us? We didn't. We're going to screw you over. We're not going to play you. We'll set you. Then we're going to make you leave early because, well, you pissed us off. So we're going to screw you over. Personally, I could give a damn he plays or he don't play. Because he's not producing when he does play. So, big deal. A-Royce can do what he wants. I don't care. If another team wants to pick him up and he wants to go there, go ahead. As long as it's not my Nationals, I could give a rat's ass. Because he's not going to produce for you. He's old. The steroids that he took deteriorating in his body. So, I mean, everybody wants to know why his hips are sore, why his back has problems. Well, it's because of all the juice that he pumped into his body to have the home runs and the RBIs and the World Series that he did get in, what was it, 2009, I believe. You hurt yourself. You screwed yourself. You want to sit there and lie, then you want to sit there when they caught your ass red-handed, suspended you 100, well, Player Association. You made your bed, you lie in it. Because this is what it comes to. You say, okay, you want to do this, you want to do that, okay, well, we won't let you back. We'll play you until April, May. They look at the standings. They can't win the East. Now, they have an outside chance of the wild card. For the second wild card, they're 3.5 games out. Do they get it? I doubt it. But you never know. They can get hot. That and his team, they're out, so the team decides to go young. I mean, Cachero's out now, retires at the end of the year. They get rid of Beltre in the trade. I mean, they're going young. But like I said, he made it. He did it to himself.
Now, this is why I say this, because he is a big name in baseball. A lot of people feel a certain way, just like you said, about the steroid abuse steroid abuse, I have to say it like that. And rightfully so, and knowing that every name that has been involved with steroids has not gotten into the Hall of Fame at all, that's why I said that he should be able to at least get his last little leg all the way until October comes around and they make the playoffs or don't. And just like you said, they're on the outside looking in of a wild card. But what if the Yankees do make it and grab a wild card spot? Does he get into the lineup? Like, is he a DH? Like, does he get the free hack and swing at the fence? Because he still has that power. You still got to respect him at the plate. Is this a situation where you really just shut him down and you guys still are in competition? They got young players that they put in position for this Yankee team that actually came out and hit well yesterday. So, I mean, not like I'm up here ranting for A-Rod. I just felt like it was an interesting topic. I really do respect players that have done work in this league, and A-Rod came to the league in 93 at, 18 years old. Like, people got to understand that this was the kid after Ken Griffey Jr. You know what I'm saying? After Jr. did his thing in the early 80s, I mean, the mid to late 80s, then A-Rod came in, and it was like the new sensation up there in Seattle, and everybody had to take notice. So it's like, all of a sudden, 23 years later, right? No. Yeah, about 23 years later. You shut him down in the middle of the season, and he can't even get them.
He cheated his whole career pretty much. I mean, he was in Seattle for, 3-4 years, and he won it out, and they traded him to Texas.
Yeah, but
you take that Seattle season here to Seattle, by the every reports, he's been cheating the rest of his career. All in Texas, as far as I know, all in New York. So, I mean, forget it. You say he's had a good career. Nobody knows that for sure because he's been on always.
And we can go anyway with it. If we want to look at him, you know, using steroids or what he was able to do in the field or what he was able to do at the plate, I'm not going to lie. I'm not a big A-Rod fan myself, but I do respect him because every time he got up to the plate, I would always, especially when my twins were playing him, it's like, just don't leave anything hanging over the plate. Don't throw him a meatball because he'll take it. Like, he was good at that, forcing a pitcher to leave him something hanging over the plate and he'll get it out of the park. Especially while he was in, when he first came to New York, that was his thing. A big guy that hit a lot of grand slams, hit damn near 700 home runs. And that's another thing too. Just the chase for him to try to get to 700. I mean, seeing how he would end his career, that's another thing I was pushing for, man. You don't know what you have till it's gone, and I actually learned this within this past week of somebody that just left my life. You know what I'm saying? Well, not just saying left my life, but left the world. Passing on and not knowing what they're able to give you while they're here. And knowing A-Rod can go out there and be a potential bat that pitchers have to concern themselves about, watching him not even take hacks at the plate, him coming back in the middle of the end of September to try and make a change for the team is crazy in itself. But I'm just throwing that out there as some type of topic to try to eat up. But I felt a certain way about A-Rod and knowing that he's been in this league for so long, I feel like he should get the proper due to walk out the right way. People sending him off, you know, in several stadiums, wherever he may go. I feel like he deserves the right send-off like Kobe Bryant did, or, you know, all of the names that, you know, just left the league and people showing them the right way, standing ovation, so on and so forth. Like, A-Rod deserves that. I feel A-Rod. And not to say how we personally feel about it. I'm just saying the right send-off for the a character or a player in a major league. Yes.
Okay. You say let him have a send-off. Do you know how many fans are going to really sit there and cheer and clap like they did Jeter, like they are Poppy? You could possibly say they go to Seattle, I don't know, Texas. Some of these teams, they literally could boo the hell out of him, throw play money on the field at him, throw syringes at him on the field. I mean, this might be the best way.
Throw syringes at him? Why are you kidding?
Hey, there was a game where someone threw syringes on the field. I can't remember what year, when, what, who, where it was that, but I remember fans throwing syringes on the field.
Yeah, well, they got to come on, man. Just show this guy the pop. He's going to be gone in a month and a half. We will never see him play baseball again. If you want to see him play something, he'll probably be playing softball or something. Like people have to look at it. Well, that's just how I just wanted to bring that one up. Felt like it was an interesting conversation. And it actually sparked a little heat. Well, not even heat, but, you know, you got the real emotion out of Tommy. Now, looking at this Yankee team and watching Teixeira already say at the end of the season he's leaving, and Teixeira is basically my age. He's 36. I feel like he's fairly young. Cece was already flirting with it last year but came back this season. I'm wondering if Cece gives it a go. This Yankee team alone has a whole bunch of retirement going on. I wonder if Girardi still stays there while his team is diminishing. But it was just interesting to see a lot of these names, especially in the MLB, get ready to hang them up and watching Father Time not play around with anybody in the league, anybody. Anything else toward the retirement in the MLB before we get away from it?
No, but you probably.
Okay. Wait. I got you. I'll let you get your topics in. Hold on. Now, everybody knows that this guy is a national fan, and we actually were on air last week arguing about a certain someone, and they released him yesterday.
The Apples are now
out away from the Washington Nationals. And there's more heat coming from the national side instead of Papelbon. But I was actually looking at a certain link. They had a link of how many saves he blew or was giving up runs late in games while the Nationals had leads. Your thoughts on the Papelbon releasing, and do you think this will actually help push you guys to a World Series bid? Because that's what they're saying, that this could have actually lifted the weight from this national team so they can actually contend for a World Series.
Well, how do I start this? Hey, goodbye. Bye-bye, you bum, you piece of shit. Bye. If another team wants to pick your ass up, go ahead. Bye. You're over the hill. You're beat up. See ya. Bye. I didn't want this son of a bitch last year. He was the cancer that tore us down while we collapsed. He tried to do it again. But we got a manager in there, Dusty Baker, said, hold on, wait a minute. Not this year, you're not doing it. With Tolisso, we better get a closer because I won't play him if I have to. This is still my team. I still do it. He made that point right before trade deadline. He put him in. Papelbon starts sucking again. His old bum ass did it again. He said, okay, hit the road, pop. We made the trade. Papelbon pitched, I think, one game after that. Now, goodbye. Sorry, you're not hurting. You're not collapsing this 8.5 like you did last year. You're not soaking our MVP this year. that I want to get into Bryce Harper after this. I'm happy. I'm glad. Didn't want him. We got rid of two cancers in, what, a year? Got rid of that sorry Matt Williams. Yeah, he's back to Arizona. They don't know baseball. Get rid of Papelbon. Hell, why don't you go to Arizona? They're not as bad as you are. So, I'm happy. Bye. No, I wouldn't be, I'll say this. I wouldn't be surprised if a playoff continued team 60 months.
Right.
Hell,
that's,
let Miami team him up. Go ahead. Go to Miami. That'll help us out even more.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. Do you think somebody will hurry up and pick him up and work on his mechanics before they get him back on the bump? Because I was actually looking at a lot of his pitches on the link that I was watching. They had a 4.5-minute clip of him just giving up big hits or bombs. Like you would see him give up a home run late in the game. And, from what I was seeing, he was throwing pitches just to basically get off the bump, hoping that he could slide a fastball by somebody, and he was hanging them right over the middle of the plate. And, that's not that kind of, a lot of players in the major leagues, they're practicing on fastball pitches. And you're coming in there to throw, what, 9 straight fastballs to try to mow players down so you can get out of there and get a save. You have to come with more. I'm wondering if they're going to – somebody is going to successfully pick him up and try to work with him while he still has a little bit left in the tank. I do agree with you, Tommy, that he may be reaching the end of his run, but I still feel like he has postseason mannerism. I won't say, the power, but he knows what to do. He's been there several times. And you already
he's
answered
not the same Papelbon that pitched in
right.
Boston. He doesn't have the same – his slider's not as good as it used to be. He has no splitter anymore. That was his danger. That was his strikeout pitch. That was his outfit was that splitter. It's not there no more. He's not the same Papelbon. There's a reason why Boston said we're parting ways, because he didn't have it anymore. They've seen it coming. Then he went to Philadelphia. For 2-3 years, he pitched in Philadelphia. There's a reason why Philadelphia said, "Bye, we'll trade you to our division rival." That helps us out. There's a reason why teams do stuff.
Okay, I really hope a team will end up picking them up and seeing if they can make a late season push with them, or if this is the end of Papelbon, because it's like I said, retirements around the MLB are coming back to back to back, from Ortiz to Teixeira to A-Rod, and depending on how things pan out for Papelbon, it'll be another big name in Papelbon, even though Papelbon hasn't had that success being on the field as of late, but it would be a name that people know around the league. I did hear you say
play for another 5 years. It looks like
right the way that he's been hitting it, all of his numbers are off the charts right now. Wondering if he would want to stay relevant. Everybody's been asking him to continue to come back, and he's been stressing that he does not want to play after this season. It hurts me because I watch my team pick him up, run him through the farm system in Minnesota, because that's what Minnesota does, is get some of the best pieces in their farm and sell it off the farm to everybody across the doggone league. And watching Ortiz end his career is like I remember him while he was in the Dome. And now it's like watching him be, at 40 and still able to do it. It's a whole nother conversation in itself. But I know that
he says it's his body aches. He can't keep doing it like he wants to. So who knows?
He's fooling everybody. Okay, he's fooling everybody. He even hit a pitch off his leg, and he still said that he's all right. He's still gonna come out here and play. So he's fooling everybody. I know that there was something that you wanted to touch on with Bryce and in the Nationals, so go ahead and throw that one out on the bunch.
Bryce Harper has been out since August 6th, not in the lineup. He's been out, supposedly by a very good reporter for SportsIllustrated.com. He works for MLB too. Does stuff on MLB Network. Has said that Bryce has a shoulder injury that he's been playing with since it was right after the All-Star game. That's causing the stiff neck and everything else. That's why he's been struggling so much, supposedly. Rizzo, the GM, and Dusty goes to Bryce and brings this up to him. He says it's not true, that it's just a stiff neck. There's something more to this story, Ty, in Sports City. It's not just a stiff neck. I really think Bryce is trying to hide a severe injury. He's not been the same probably since the Chicago series in Chicago. He's pulling off the ball. He's not hitting for power. I mean, he still has 20 home runs. I believe he's like 50, 60-some RBIs. He's not the same Bryce Forsetti. He is not. There is something. If I was the owner, GM, I'd schedule him an MRI, shoulder and neck. There is something wrong with this him. He's young. I believe he's only 23, 24. I don't think he's turned 24 yet. He might have.
Yeah, you can call him kid. You can call him kid. We're that old now.
He's got a long way, still a long way to go. We talked about it. He could be one that contends for Barry Bonds. Home run race. But we've seen it with Prince Fielder. Prince Fielder retired due to the neck injuries. The neck and shoulder areas, no joke. I haven't seen the lineup yet. No one's Nationals haven't tweeted out the lineup, so I don't know if he's in now. But during the games, he's in and out of the dugout. There's times where he'll be in underneath getting treatment. Then he'll come into the dugout with his team, watch his team play. Then you'll see the camera will go looking for him. He's there. He's not even there. He's underneath into the clubhouse getting treatment again. If I was the Nationals, I'd protect this kid from himself and schedule an MRI because this shit's no joke.
Okay, we do have a caller in queue. Caller, press 1 if you'd like to speak on air. The interesting thing about Bryce, and this is interesting that you bring this up, that we know that he played with a tenacity similar, and I like to use his name because I met him, you know, and I feel a certain way about him in the major leagues. He played with the same tenacity as Charlie Hustle, a.k.a. Pete Rose. And knowing how he hacks at every ball while he was fully healthy and taking every pitcher basically out of the park, do you think that this could be the wear and tear on his body that he needs to rest for, or do you think there may be something else? Do you think it's from the way that he plays or the way that he swings or things of that, or do you think this is something that just is happening internally that he needs to focus on outside of the season and try to tweak before February, March comes around next season?
I mean, yeah, he plays hard, but he has actually got smarter. I mean, he'll hustle running bases. He'll make a play that should be a single into a double. Defensively, he's got smart enough to know, hey, I can't catch every ball. I've got to let some balls hit the wall. Now, I'm not going to run into walls. I mean, I think Rizzo, Dusty, I think Even probably Matt Williams. That might be one thing Matt Williams got crossed through him last year. Might be the smartest thing that idiot did. But, yeah, I mean, part of it could be that. But a lot of it could be his swing last this year. He could have done something when he, and like I said, he pulls off, he's been pulling off the ball a lot. I mean, he'll be almost in the dugout just trying to swing at a pitch. I mean, he's pulling off the ball so bad. I don't know. That's why I said I really think they need to get him an MRI. Now, if he's out for the season, do I think it'll hurt us? No. I think we'll be okay. Our offense is actually not bad. That's good. I mean, it'd be nice to have him in the lineup for us, but it's not a big thing. Murph's doing well. Sam should be coming back. Rendo's doing his thing. The Buffalo, if you don't know who I'm talking about, Wilson Ramos, then he's got actually a good story. We're not beat up too bad, so we'll be fine. But there's something wrong. There's more than just a stiff neck.
And now, do you think that they could be resting him before they approach the month of September, still relying on the team to get them to the postseason without him and trying to get the ultimate percentage out of his body while they make a postseason run, potentially for this World Series that everybody's chasing like we just spoke on?
I can't say they're resting because Bryce is one of them ones that if he's healthy, he's going to play. He's like Jason. That's one thing Jason worked. I mean, they want to play. So if he was healthy enough to play, he'd be out there playing. There's something wrong with that neck, shoulder, whatever it is.
Okay, the last time we spoke, I was telling you they're the hot team in baseball. They are still hot, even though they finally had their streak broken yesterday. Out of their last 12 games, they won 11, and then they just lost yesterday. Thoughts on how the Cubs have been putting it together, and it has not really been their pitching staff. It has been that offense that we have been talking about. Their bats are waking up. This is the team that I feel, you know what, Tommy, I'm going to keep it real with you. I feel like that you two will end up meeting for a very interesting NLCS. I really feel like that could end up going down. Chicago and D.C. going at it. Your thoughts on this Cup team, as we last spoke, they put it together, got even stronger throughout the duration of the week, and finally lost after the 12th game yesterday.
Yeah, you say the two teams that could be playing NLCS. I'm still not sleeping on San Francisco. They still worry me. You want to sleep on them, go ahead. I am not. They're still Cubs. Everybody talk. I'm going to say this just like F.P. Santangelo did. Let them do what they want because postseason baseball is completely different. So, it is what it is. They may be terrorizing the St. Louis's, Pittsburghs, and everything else. So be it. Postseason baseball comes down to pitching and bullpens. I'm not overseeing them because, yes, they're still a threat. They probably will make it to the NLCS. Unless something, maybe the Black Billy Goat or Barkman shows up or something, they'll probably make it. Who they play, I'd like to see them be my Nationals, but like I said, I'm still not sleeping on that team out west. And no, that's not the Dodgers or Arizona or anything like that. It's that team in San Francisco.
As long as Buster Posey don't try to knock himself out with a third base. If you haven't seen this slide, then Jesus Christ. He tried to literally knock himself out. He's a Major League Baseball player. But he's a catcher. Okay, let me stop. Let me leave him alone. One more baseball topic before we get away from it. Looking at the American League East right now, too, how everything has just changed, and it is very interesting in this division. Toronto now sits atop the division by a half a game in front of the and the Red Sox are two games back from everything. And I'm not going to lie, I was one of the people that felt like the Red Sox were playing strong ball, too, to make a run at the postseason as well. Well, now things have just gotten even more interesting within the division where how everybody's playing in the American League East, it should be noted. Even the Yankees at fourth place are above 500, and they're all playing decent ball as of now. As of now. Your thoughts on the race in the American League East? Can Toronto be the name that everybody forgot about in this division to hang on and win the division?
There's one person that didn't forget about Toronto. You know who that person was that said they would win this division?
So you still feel like they could win the division?
Yep, Toronto wins this division. I'm telling you, Toronto wins this division.
So Baltimore falls asleep, or do they keep pace and stay in their rear view? And what about Boston?
Baltimore's not going. I still say Baltimore does not have the pitching to win this division. Now, they're a game and a half. Baltimore is a game and a half up in the first playoff position. I think Baltimore misses the playoffs completely. I believe Boston gets in as a wild card. And that team out in Detroit that's putting it together gets that other playoff slot. Baltimore does not have the pitching. I'm sorry. They had a good year. They had a good year. Played better than what a lot of people, I mean, not a lot of people, because I thought this would be a tough fight. I thought it would be a four-team race. It's actually turned into a three-team race. I just don't trust Baltimore. I mean, I just don't think they can outslug everybody. I think Toronto wins this division by two to three games. It'll come down. It might come down to the last week. But I just think Toronto wins it.
Okay, one more. I'm sliding a lot of these dishes in here. One more. Your thoughts on the Dodgers. Now, I know that we spoke on San Francisco winning this division, but the Dodgers are a game back. And knowing this rivalry is as strong as ever, especially in the past, I can't even say in the past, this rivalry has just gotten even better, thicker, and stronger. Your thoughts on the Dodgers? Can they make this push? They have been playing decent baseball as of late. They end up catching the Giants and getting in front in this West right now while they're basically neck and neck. I don't even want to say in their rear view, even though they are behind them. But your thoughts on this Dodger team, while everything that's happened throughout the season, they are still strongly relevant in this race as well.
Do I go ahead and eat crow now? That's the question. Because I am on record on here saying the Dodgers would not make the playoffs. They are playing better than I thought they'd play. It literally looks like they'll get in. I mean, they still could possibly win this division. Like you say, they're a game out. Don't say San Francisco wins this. The Dodgers are, they're what, 4.5 up in the first wild card slot?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them choking that away. I'll go ahead and eat crow. It'll probably bite me in my ass because then they'll start sucking and lose the thing and then I'll have to eat crow again. The Dodgers make the playoffs. I'll go ahead. Mm-hmm. They surprised me. I did not think they would make it. They make it as a wild card. Or they could possibly maybe San Francisco don't want to win this division. Because if I remember, if my memory is correct, San Francisco's won both World Series when they were a wild card. So maybe Bochy and the Giants just want the wild card. I don't understand it. They had a huge lead, and they just let it slip away. So maybe that's it. Maybe the Giants want a wild card spot to keep the history going. Because it is their year to win it. If it goes like histories go every other year. So I don't know. I have no clue what to think with the Giants sometimes or the Dodgers.
I know one thing that I do remember you saying, and it might hold true, is you said at the end of the season, Mike Socha will be fired. Looking at how the Angels have been playing, there is no excuses with the roster that they have. I wonder that if they do hang on to Socha, they just lost 9 straight games in a row, and nobody is talking about this. But I am watching that closely because I do respect Socha. I do respect him. As a skip, he earned my respect. But as of this season, a lot of the moves that the Angels made in the past couple of seasons, questionable. But looking at how they're playing right now, they are at the bottom of the barrel with a lot of potential on that team. Is it time for Socha to go, or is he to blame, or is it more or less the players that are not producing that he's been trying his best to work with? That is the question. So I am watching that closely.
Their pitching is killing them. They don't have pitching. Their bullpen's awful. I mean, it's pretty bad when everybody thinks Los Angeles, Anaheim, of L.A., or whatever it is out there now. What's the loser they think of? Mike Trout, I'm going to throw a question out on you, Ty. You're a GM, okay? Take out the injuries of Bryce right now. You have the money. Do you? I'm going to throw 3-4 players out at you. You're a GM. And there are free agents. You've got the money. You can throw it out to them. Do you sign Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, Manny Machado, or Jose Fernandez down in Miami? Who do you sign?
And you said remove the injuries?
Yeah, remove the injuries.
Okay, if we're removing the injury, then Bryce would be the phenom that I'm going with. But I am a big Trout guy. I like the way Trout plays both the field and the way that he swings at the plate. I do like what Trout is able to do. So it's a tough decision, but I definitely have to go with Bryce. I have to say that. But Trout would be right there in his rearview mirror, just like I've been saying all show long.
Everybody knows I'm a huge Bryce fan. I've followed this dude since high school, his senior year in high school. You know what I'm taking? Taking Mike Trout. He hits. He can run. He plays the field, and he's actually, overall numbers are somewhat more consistent than what Bryce's is.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I'm taking Manny Machado. Everybody is sleeping on this kid in Baltimore. Manny Machado is going to get paid.
You're giving him the leg up over Bryce Harper.
Yes. Yeah,
wow.
Bryce can play anywhere in the outfield. You can DH, but Machado can play the third base, the corner. He can play shortstop. May's got a cannon. So's Bryce. I'm taking Machado. And I just got the alert. Bryce Harper is out again. And the GM, Mike Rizzo, has said there's no plans for the DL. But Bryce Harper is out again with the neck.
And that's what I was saying. If we remove the injury, see, like, that's what made it debatable. If Bryce wasn't, off of the, you know, off of the lineup or off of the roster at given times, and he was out there an everyday player, officially going as hard as he could. It's a toss up between him and Trout. To me, I feel him and Trout are similar to me, but I feel Bryce, you know, if he catches one over the plate, he's been dumping these pitches out of the park like crazy. He's been taking them. So if he's available to give it all that he can, it's tough. But like I said, Bryce, he said Bryce is going to end up being a $400 million man. I don't feel like any of these guys are going to be. I really feel like they've been lowballing Trout with the money that he has been seeing. Like, I feel like Trout could end up being big.
I actually think there's four of them that comes in that 2008 class. Like I said, Fernandez out of Miami, Trout, Harper, Machado, they all break the bank.
Who do you think ends up getting the bigger deal out of all three of them?
I would have to say Harper or Trout. I'm not sure which one. I would not be surprised if two of the four, maybe one, the Yankees don't get. Now, Bryce is on record saying he doesn't want to play for the Pinstripes. But something Pat said the last time we were on, money talks. They throw that money out at Bryce, and we all know who his agent is. Money talks. He can say he doesn't want to go to New York to put on the Pinstripes. They throw that big time contract at him, he could. Now, I still say he could end up in D.C. or Chicago, and that's not the White Sox, that's the Cubs.
Okay, so you don't know if he'll end up getting the big check that he deserves out there in D.C.
I mean, he could. I don't know. It all depends on what the owner and Rizzo think. If Rizzo's even our GM, even then.
Okay. Any other baseball topic that you'd like to get to before we get away from it? Because I did throw out my fair share. I want to see if you have business that you brought baseball-wise as well.
Hey, you pretty much hit them all. I mean, the only one I really had was the Harper. And the Dodgers, because I had said they would make it. And looks like I'm going to eat crow.
Well, like I said, we still have a month and a half left, so give it some time. If we're nearing the middle of September and they're still in position, then it'd be a different ball game. But you still have time, so don't backpedal too much. You're fine. Okay, so now we've had the first week of preseason football go down. And a lot of people have been hitting up the Sports City email saying, thank you that football is back. Can't wait till we really start getting into the thick of things. We could go from, you know, team by team or things that we've seen, things of that nature, of how things have played out, you know, first couple of games out of the gate. Your thoughts on some of these teams or some of the players that have been out there playing, whether an injury has happened, you know, with Carson Wentz, having a rib injury already fresh out of the gate. I mean, we could go game by game from what we saw, or what we've seen, excuse me, I said that incorrectly, from what we've seen. Your thoughts on week one in preseason from some of the players that have actually gone out there and made a name for themselves to move on into week two?
Some teams are pretty much what I thought they'd be. There has been a surprise. I might as well Super Bowl champ teams, the Denver Broncos. They may be better than what I think they'll be. Sanchez went out and he played. He might have found an offense for him. Now it is preseason. It is week one. I mean, It's hard to say, but he looked good when he played. Right now I'm watching your Lions and Steelers game replays. I mean, Lions don't look too bad. Pittsburgh, and I'm not trying to give him too much credit up there. I guess I'll get on my Ravens. I mean, it's hard to judge them right now because offensively, half of our starters didn't even play. Flacco didn't play. Forsett didn't play. Wallace didn't play. I mean, Steve Smith didn't play. What I can speak on, it, I mean, defensively, I think everybody played defensively for us except Suggs and Dumervil. Off defensive line, I'm not bad on because, like I said, just that Suggs and Dumervil didn't play. Defensive line didn't look too bad. Linebackers looked good. Scares me is our corners. We still cannot cover anybody. So, I mean, D-line's going to have to get pressure. We may have to send a linebacker here and there to help the corners because the corners still seem lost and can't cover anybody. I mean, Philadelphia, where do you start? I mean, yeah, they won. I think they won, right? But that their offensive line looked awful. I mean, it's bad. Griffin didn't look too bad. I mean, he had that one ball he threw out to Pryor, and he went out and dove. I mean, Griffin didn't look too bad.
I really hope he could put it together out there, man. And they were struggling scoring the ball. And he was early, and there was something that RG3 had said that he can't turn the ball over because he did throw an interception in the game. But they did what they could up against a Packer team. The score was ugly. It looked like a bad baseball game at one point. It was 2-3, then it was 5-3. Like it had a crazy score to it. But you know, I watched this for interesting purposes here at Sports City of how we were saying who would have the better season between Kirk Cousins or RG3. And looking like Terrell Pryor may be one of the big names in that receiving core to make it for RG3, knowing that he's going to be a legit option on the outside, being a big target with speed, too, knowing that could be a go-to guy for him on a play-by-play situation. This should be big for Cleveland if they can hang on to it. And the reason why I'm watching Cleveland more than ever is because of Duke and knowing that I have a close affiliation with Mrs. Mitchell. You know, I'm watching this closely to see how he ends up producing, knowing that he's going to be like the Army Knight for this team. I am watching the Browns, interestingly enough. I won't say closely, but just knowing everything that came out of the game from them playing up against the Packers, they fell short. It was an interesting score. But, of course, you didn't see the big-time players play big minutes in this game. And like I said, as we get closer to the end of the month, we'll start to see a lot of these players go out there and give time. One question that I do have in mind is, I know it's preseason, I know, but the way that the Bears looked out of the gate up against this Broncos team. Now, mind you, just like you said about Sanchez looking like he looked decent with this offense, he did throw a pick in this game as well. In which the Bears were not able to capitalize. They were the first shutout of the preseason this year. Is this offense still a problem, or will they click together while these guys start to get more time out there on the field? And knowing, like, I've actually been ranting about the pieces that Cutler and company have on the outside, and it still looks like it still could potentially be a problem for this Bears team if they're not able to put it together.
I've seen highlights of this game. I've never actually sat down and watched it. Due to it was 22-0, and I said, well, looks like the Bears are going to be the Bears. Like the famous Dennis Green said, they are who we thought they were. Well, it looks like they are who we think they are. I'm sorry, Bears are horrible. You signed Jay Cutler, he could be the problem. I mean, yeah, he didn't play a whole lot because it is, like I said, the first preseason game, but it looks like the Bears are who we think they are. They may finish dead last because what I'm seeing of this Detroit-Pittsburgh game, Detroit don't look too bad. And, it's preseason. It's preseason. Game one, so it's hard to judge after in the first preseason.
Yeah, leave that team alone. I still feel like they got some kinks to kick out, especially in front of Stafford, man. I put this pressure on him right now, and I know he ain't listening, but I'm going to say it. This season right here could make both of them look good or bad in one way, and that'll be Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson. And by me saying that is Stafford ready to be, and I'm saying this right now, here and now, Sports City, is Stafford ready to be as big in the city of Detroit as Barry Sanders was? I said it. Because here is the situation. He has weapons all across the board now. All across the board, depending on how Eric Ebron tries to bounce back from his ankle situation. They're waiting on Brandon Pettigrew to get back, and that's his tight end situation, and knowing that's his safety blanket. That's every quarterback safety blanket is their tight end. Waiting to see how that pans out. But Anquan Boldin caught a 30-yard pass. Carlo took him out immediately. Marvin Jones caught an interesting toe tapper on the sideline. We didn't see him anymore. Golden Tate, they didn't even waste time. Like, they have an offense with pieces. Even Jeremy Curley, how they just picked him up from the Jets. Like, he's an underneath slot receiver with dangerous speed that defenses have to respect. I really feel like the Lions have five or six receivers that they could choose from that could make a difference. Hell, they had a rookie in Washington take a kickoff to the house right after the Steelers scored. Right after they scored, he took it right to the house. So it's like, the Lions are in an interesting situation with interesting pieces where I focus, and I don't want to do this because I just don't like the erraticness that he plays with, but I have to say it. The focus is all on Matthew Stafford. Everybody's talking about if he gets protection and the offensive line has to hold up, things of that nature. I agree. That offensive line can't let up, and we've seen Stafford fumble when Harrison got to him off the edge because he went after the rookie Taylor Decker. And beat him to the punch and got to Stafford to make him fumble and turn the ball over. But if this offensive line could protect them and everybody stays healthy on this Lions team, the focus is on Stafford. Now, the reason why I say this focus being on Stafford is, can you win a playoff game? Not get to the playoffs. You've been to the playoffs twice. He's been to the playoffs twice, but Calvin was there. And you still didn't win a game. Can you get there and win a game? Because I'm going to be honest, Barry Sanders got to the playoffs. Barry Sanders got to an NFC Championship game. Even though we got blown out to the Washington Redskins, he at least got them there. Can you replace that situation that everybody's been hanging on to since 91, 92 in Detroit? Like, these were the last seasons that they got a playoff win. That's what I'm looking towards Stafford. But he only had one series. He was 4-for-6, and he fumbled at the end of it. Being in the red zone after that, that catch and run by Anquan Boldin that basically put him in position to be in field goal range and we turned the ball over. But there's a lot that I've seen from Detroit, especially for the people fighting for position. Like, I was watching that Lions game and watching all of these players fight for position. Everybody on that Lions team clicked. Now, this is the one thing about it. It's preseason, so you can't really read too much of how these guys are going to pan out in the regular season, but like I said, the focus is on number 9. I can't look anywhere else but number 9. There was another
Minnesota
game that
looked good.
Yeah, I was gonna get there. I had Minnesota also, especially when Bridgewater looked out of the gate. The Dolphins too up against the Giants. They put it together late. The Giants do have an interesting receiving core. Cruz is out already with an injury. It's just bothering me about Cruz because I think that these guys could be dangerous enough with Odell Beckham and Cruz, but Cruz has to be able to give it a go, man. Like, he's been injured the past two seasons. We have not heard from Cruz in a while, but we know how dangerous he can be in the slot underneath with a lot of mismatches. If he can open the game up for Odell Beckham, this could be big, but they have to be fully healthy across the board. They did come out of the gate early, put up 10 points, and you've seen the rest of the game where they weren't able to do anything. So this is really going to be based off of their first team. But the Dolphins are able to come out the gate and come back in that second quarter, and everybody else is playing second and third string minutes at the tail end of the game. But that was another interesting situation, too. How do you feel about the Raiders, since you were already big on them out of the gate, them having a big bust-out game up against the Cardinals, or at least to start the game off? And just like I said, it's preseason, but at least we get some of our appetites and thirsts, refreshed as it is on this football taste here.
Well, the Raiders look good. They finally found their franchise quarterback, Carr. Right, if they can keep that wide receiver core around them, defense can play respectfully and play good. I'm telling you, this team wins. I'm not going to say they win this division. They make the playoffs. I mean, Denver looks okay. I haven't seen the Chiefs yet. I think they have not seen Kansas City play yet. But the Raiders' first string looked good. I think they finally found their franchise quarterback. I really think he threw some nice passes against a defense that, a lot of teams are favored to go to the Super Bowl, Arizona. But Arizona at the same time did not play a lot of their starters. Patrick Peterson played a here and there. Matthews didn't dress to play at all. There are some other players here and there that didn't play for Arizona this first preseason game. Same way with their offense. So, like I said, this first week's hard to tell. We'll get a good dose of seeing what teams do and what they look like maybe this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, second streak, but definitely that third week of preseason. We'll definitely see what teams have. Because the fourth week, nobody really plays. It's all through the pretty much second, third string teams trying to see who they will try to keep. But Oakland looked good. What do you think, Todd?
Like I said, they came out storming. They were putting pressure on the Cardinals. Their defense was getting through and making Carson Palmer, be decisive quickly. I feel like there's a bit of erraticness with that offense. As stellar as they were last year, and everything's not together right now for their offense. And I know that Bruce will get it to work or click as much as possible out there in Arizona. But the way that the Raiders were actually able to force the issue, I feel like they can be a force to reckon with. You think that they can be put on potential. It can happen. Like I said, that AFC West is up for grabs. It is up for grabs. I don't know if it's a sure team that actually, holds the torch as of right now, but the Raiders are trying to make a name for themselves. I'm still iffy about the Kansas City Chiefs because I'm not big on Alex Smith, even though he made an interesting one last season. Phillip Rivers, I know they gave you that extension, but something has to give. I love Phillip Rivers ever since he came to the league, but they can no longer be the middle of the pack team. They haven't really been strongly relevant in the AFC West since him, Gates, and LaDainian were together. And, they've been struggling ever since they broke that tandem up and Gates not being healthy as much as possible to be out there. So that's another thing. So at Denver, they still have that defense. So that offense is what everybody's watching while Sanchez runs the show. So this is going to be interesting. It's like I said, how they came out the gate, I know it's preseason ball, but they were able to score three times in that first quarter. That's big to say that the Raiders can actually get it all done on both sides of the ball. But it is early, and it is week one in playoff football. We do have a call in queue that I do want to get in here and see what's going on. Caller from the 619 area code, welcome to the brunch. What's your name and what's on your mind today?
My name is James King, better known as West Coast Steelers fan. So you know where my loyalties lie here. But I got a couple questions for you. Number one, I heard you talking about the Raiders making the playoffs. So do you really think that there's going to be two teams making the playoffs out of a weak AFC West? The other question I have for you when you were talking about Detroit, I'm looking at Detroit kind of like the New York Knicks. I mean, you know, if this team was put together maybe 4 years ago, yes, I would definitely say that. But I don't see Detroit making any more progress. I still think that they're going to be behind the Packers. And I, like you said, I mean, Chicago is definitely, you know, going not – I don't see them going anywhere, but I do see the Vikings coming in somewhere in there, at least one or two. And when you were talking about the Eagles, I definitely agree with you about, you know, their weaknesses. And as for the Ravens, do you think that they're going to be any better than a third-place team in the AFC North?
Whoa. Okay. It's loaded. Okay, so your name is James, right? That's what you said?
Yes, sir.
Okay. First question that you threw out there was the Raiders situation, correct?
Yes, sir.
And them making the playoffs. Now, like I said, I think it's up for grabs whether somebody wins the division and somebody gets a wild card. That's yet to be seen. I know we'll do more on our anticipation and how we feel the remainder of the season will end up panning out. But out of the gate, up against the top five defense, even though you didn't really see all of their players give it a full go, but Arizona's defense for the past two seasons, you had to reckon with, especially the blitz packages and how they were throwing things around. Carr was throwing pinpoint passes, beating that defense. He was beating that defense. He had one play with Amari Cooper. If he didn't throw that ball out of bounds, it was a touchdown. He threw that ball out of bounds, and he led him wrong. And we know from what we've seen from Derek Carr giving it a go last season for being a reserve in the Pro Bowl and able to make pinpoint passes downfield, if he can do this with Crabtree and Amari Cooper, just like Tommy said, if these guys stay healthy, that'll be huge. Now, it's interesting enough that you are a Steelers fan, and I apologize for what happened, but it's preseason, you know what I'm saying? And the crazy part about it is I agree with you 100%, but I look at it like, you know, management and, you know, the president of Luan and them putting so much of it in Mayhew's lap that they weren't putting pieces around Calvin and Stafford like they should have. Like, they had Wilson there wasting money and wasting time for a five-year deal and giving him $5 million, and he wasn't even able to produce. I can look at Burleson at being there in Detroit, and he probably scored less than 11 touchdowns in five seasons. So, like, now they have a full cast of receivers there that Stafford can make a difference with. Now, I agree with you. You still got Minnesota, Adrian Peterson and company. You also got Green Bay that you got to pay respect to with Aaron Rodgers and company, depending on how Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb still come back as that receiving tandem form. But, of course, it's always going to be like that in the NFC North. So I feel like it's going to be a struggle. But the way that they were able to produce in Pittsburgh, even with the second unit coming in and or lost out of anybody able to do a decent job, it says a lot to what can potentially happen. But I actually feel stronger with the guy Rudolph out of Michigan as the backup for Stafford. But that's neither here nor there. I really feel like Detroit has more to prove, let alone in this preseason and also out of the gate. Their first game of the season, they go to Indianapolis up against the Colts. So they're not out of the fire by any stretch of the imagination. Now, you threw out the Ravens situation in the AFC North, and I know this is your division rival, and I know Tommy will probably get into this too. You really feel like they're going to be a third-place team in the AFC North, so if you have Pittsburgh in Cincinnati finishing ahead of them, or do you see Cleveland jumping into this situation?
No, I don't see Cleveland jumping into this situation at all. I still see Cleveland as bottom feeders in the AFC North. Referring back to your Raiders, I still think that the AFC West is only going to have one team, and I just don't see a wild card out of the AFC West. Your thoughts on two teams coming out of the AFC West?
It depends on what the Chiefs look like. Cause this, the reason why I throw the Chiefs out there is because of Alex Smith. I feel Alex Smith is everything to this team right now. Cause if we look at the normal Alex Smith, he's still that erratic quarterback that's scared to make those passes downfield. But we've seen a big change in him last year. While they were able to produce, able to score, him able to trust more into the pieces. And I give a ton of respect to the guy that I want to mention about everything is Andy Reid. Andy Reid has been able to revitalize and turn around a lot of quarterbacks' careers, and Alex Smith still has it. The ability to be agile enough. All he has to do is make those throws. If he's able to make those throws, Kansas City could be one of those teams to talk about. They have a defense that could anchor the situation. Their offense is what they need to worry about. Jamal Charles, they're waiting to see how this pans out. If he could give them a full season, because this guy's a home run hitter every time he's on the field, but how many times is he on the field? Then you still have Denver. They just won the Super Bowl. Their defense is still there. The question is, Mark Sanchez is going to be their starter. Is Sanchez the guy to bring them to the postseason is the question that I want to see. So that's another thing in itself. The Raiders, I didn't say the Raiders. My co-host and other people have come to the kitchen and said that the Raiders can potentially or will make the playoffs. So this is an interesting thing that we get to watch from now in August to the end of December to see if the Raiders are built for what people have spoke on in this matter. So I still think it's up in the air. The Chargers, like I said, I love Phillip Rivers. I really feel like Keenan Allen and Gates, they have to be healthy all season for the Chargers to do anything. Melvin Gordon is another home run hitter. I feel like he can make a difference coming out of that backfield. But I don't know if the Chargers are in position to win that division or be a wild card in itself. Tommy, is there anything that you'd like to answer from what James has thrown out?
San Diego's done. They just lost the receiver, Stevie Johnson, to possibly the rest of the season. I'm so down with San Diego and Phillip Rivers. Kid rocks. Oakland makes the playoffs. They will make. I don't see them winning the division. I actually think Kansas City wins the division, and Oakland makes it as a wild card. Now, talk about the Ravens. This team, if we stay healthy, and that's the key, because that was the whole key last year. We compete for this division. I'm not worried about that team up north. To hell with them. We beat them with a backup quarterback last year. We all know that rapist up there will get hurt. It would be surprised if we don't hurt him. The only team that I'm worried about, Cincinnati, but I think Cincinnati falls back because they lost the offensive coordinator to Cleveland. We compete for this division. Now, do we win it? I don't know. We have the weapons around Flacco. Now, I am worried about the offensive line still. That offensive line still doesn't get it. I'm still saying we need to fire that offensive line coach. He's horrible. I've never liked him since we got him. The line's not like it used to be. But if Flacco plays like he should, it doesn't worry about that ACL because that's the key. A lot of players that tear that ACL, they come back and they play hesitant. If he comes out, plays like he should, throws the ball all over the field, we've got weapons. Steve Smith's back. We got Mike Wallace. If he decides he wants to run and catch the ball, because there's times in camp reports coming out of that he's not playing and doing like he should. And Harbaugh's not happy with him. Running back-wise, sports set. He's out for Terrence West. He is where he wants to be at. He's a Baltimore kid, went to Towson University. He wanted to play in Baltimore. He played well. Quarter-wise, we're still hurting. I mean, I'm not really worried about the safeties. Welder, we got from San Diego. We moved Lazar Webb from corner to safety. We'll see how that works out. But we're not going to be as bad as we were last year. I think a lot of those close games we'll win this year, as long as it's not so stupid. We win. I don't want to go out and say we win this division, but it's going to be close. We're going to compete for it, at least.
One more question for you. Do you really think that Joe Flacco has lived up to that big contract you guys gave him, especially when you look at his play since he signed the contract? And number two, you talk about your offensive line and the offensive coordinator. Do you think that the reason why you haven't made those changes is because of Jim Harbaugh's loyalty?
I don't think it has anything to do with John Harbaugh's loyalty. Now, I'll say this. Since we've won the Super Bowl, it don't look like he has the passion like he was. It's like, okay, I got my Super Bowl. I'm not going to coach as well as some of the decisions he makes. I wonder, like, why is he doing this? Like, before Super Bowl, he wouldn't have done it. He just took, like, on some fourth down positions, I'm like, wait a minute, why? Joe has been played up to that contract. I am on record saying I didn't like it because we lost a lot of the weapons. I mean, Bolden, Smith. I mean, there are some other players that's left that we could have re-signed. But he's got the weapons this year. There's no excuse. There's no excuse for him not to put up good numbers. None.
Okay, so James, I want to ask you this. Since you say the Ravens are a third-place team in the North, how do you feel about Pittsburgh this year, especially while their defense is in question? I feel like the back end of the Steelers' defense is still on trial right now. That secondary will be tested in a division where every single team passes the ball, including RG3.
I still, you know, wholeheartedly agree with you about our secondary. Our secondary is, you know, ranked, I believe, number 20, and I think that's generous. But also, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, it's going to be a matter of, you know, can you outscore us? You know, even without four games, without Le'Veon Bell, we know that D'Angelo Williams can come in there and do the job. I'm not sure about our situation at tight end, situation with Green, but we still have Antonio Brown. We still got Big Ben. Our defense, I mean, you know, our front eight, our front seven is going to always be outstanding. But we're going to have to depend on the speed of the pass rush. Guys like Chase here, we're going to put a lot on our young men. Everybody knows the weakness of the Steelers is our secondary. It's not something that we can hide. But I still think that, as much as I have to say it, I think it's going to come down to Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. That's why I put the Ravens at number three. I just, there's a reason why I call Cleveland the Cleveland Clowns. And I just think that they always live up to that moniker year after year. So I'm not worrying about, you know, that team up there on the mistake on the lake. I'm looking forward for the season to start. And like I said, I just think it's going to be one of those things where we're going to put up, X number of points. I would say, average about 24, 30 points a game. And we're going to defend our team. But, hey, our scores, that's the way it's going to be.
You think the Steelers could put up 30 points?
This first problem is going to be this. Secondary, yeah.
Of course.
Can they protect Ben Roethlisberger? Because I'm telling you, by what I'm watching on this Detroit and Pittsburgh game, if Ben goes down, I ain't worried. They don't have any quarterback. Landry ain't going to do a whole lot. I mean, so if Ben goes down for any amount of games, they're going to be in trouble. I still don't think they have a backup quarterback behind Ben.
I definitely agree with you with that wholeheartedly. But then when you look at any team in the AFC North, I think that's true of all of them. I mean, what are you guys gonna do if Flacco goes down?
Matt's not too. I mean, he's not the best backup, but he's not bad either. I mean, he beat Pittsburgh last year in the coming in, and we were beat up. We had nobody playing, and he did his job.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I think that's true. That's one of the weaknesses of the AFC North, that no one really has a backup quarterback. If the main guy goes down, I think that's a weakness everywhere. You guys have I think we have the same thing in common. Our corners might be slightly better than yours, but, it's a toss-up. When you talk about the secondary for the Ravens and the Steelers, it's definitely any given Sunday.
It's very interesting to hear you guys, especially you throw that out there, because I'm actually trying to, look at it now quickly. The only team I can look at with a decent backup in the division would be Cincinnati with McCarron, but McCarron didn't look too well while Dalton went down last year. So, that's still to be seen. But I really feel like it is up for grabs in that division. I want to see how the predictions go down here in Sports City to see how things can be won. Also, at the tight end position, you said you could expect Pittsburgh to score anywhere from 24 to 30 points per game on average, especially without Heath Miller in the middle of the field. I don't know if Ladarius Green is able to bring that much to that offense. I respect Big Ben. Big Ben is one of my favorite quarterbacks in the league right now. But I don't know if they're able to get 27, 30 points up on the board. 24, 21, I could deal with. 30 on a night-by-night basis, I don't know. I feel like that is a reach. I feel like that's a reach.
Trust me, that's a homer. I mean, you're more realistic, but, hey, I told you I was a Steelers fan when I came on.
I hear you. Look, I hear you, because I used to feel like that with Calvin. I'm like, if we throw the ball up to Calvin three times, we should get touchdowns like that. But you got to be, just like you said, the homer compared to the realist looking at it. And not to take anything away from Blake, because Blake can produce with any offense. I really, really respect Ben a lot. He's been able to produce with any offense, any piece that you put with him. But Heath Miller was a big shoo-in for his safety blanket. His tight end core right now, those guys all get injured from Space to Green. Like, I don't know. I'm not confident with looking at the receiving core in Pittsburgh right now. We do have a caller in queue calling from the 770 area code. Welcome to the brunch. What's on your mind tonight?
I just want to say the Steelers stink.
And what team are you with? If you're not from the Patriots, you must be smoking something that's not illegal.
I'm in Georgia where your boy Big Ben went had trouble one time.
So what does that have to do with the performance of the Steelers and where we how we play football?
You're looking at a max 5-11, 6-10 type team this year.
So 5-11 or 6-10, do they bring up the rear? Is that what you're saying?
The Steelers are bringing up the rear. There's going to be a new pecking order, a new world order. The Cleveland Browns are taking over.
Man, you are not smoking that good stuff.
No, hey, I'm out here in California. I'm smoking the good stuff as we speak. So I know some what
and you
so,
and sir,
so you can be assured that I didn't pass it to him.
Wow.
Sir, and you're doing it legally. You are smoking legally.
Wow.
Yeah,
City, I don't condone any of this, Port City. I don't condone any of this. Just talking a little sports, man. Okay, so Matt, since you came here, you already got them riled up. I know you don't believe Cleveland is going to win the division, or are you really serious? Give me a reason why you feel like this can happen, or do you, from what you've seen out of week one, do you feel strong about winning the division or things of that nature? I really don't even want to throw predictions out now. I wanted to kind of save it. But your thoughts on the division that you 50% protect because you're part Cleveland, you're part Atlanta. I got to be fair to James. This is his first time calling in. So, James, he has two teams. And where I'm from, you can't have two teams. That's how I was raised. So, but he comes here with two teams. So he likes the Falcons because he lives in Georgia. And he's a diehard Cleveland Browns fan also. So, Matt, go ahead.
I don't think you can read too far into preseason, Ty. I mean, look at Matty Ice down here in Atlanta. He went 0-4, and they took him right out. I think teams are playing a possum. They don't want people to get hurt. As far as Cleveland goes, like you said, let's not get too crazy into predictions yet because it's early. But all I know is it's really nice for Cleveland to start out 0-0 like everybody else.
Yeah, but looking at – okay, so since you throw Matty Ice out there, I mean, he is another one of these $100 million quarterbacks that we've spoke on. I mean, you got Kaepernick, you got Cutler, you got Dalton, you got – who did we just speak on that got big money? Oh, Flacco. All of these guys got those, you know, nine-digit contracts, and the only one that was able to really produce was Dalton, and Dalton keeps getting to the playoffs and can't win a game. So, like – I mean, how do we look at Matty Ice? You just said he was 0-4 and has one of the best receivers in the game. Like, I don't know. The jury is out on Matty Ice. Can he put it this way? Let me put it this way. Do you feel strong enough with Matty Ice to win the NFC South where it's wide open? I feel like
we're going to beat Cam this year.
You're gonna beat the Panthers this year. That defense is coming right back.
They're gonna beat Cam Newton. Cam Newton's gonna fall apart this year. The guy's a joke.
Cam Newton is a joke? Really?
Saw what he's wearing, that cowboy hat or whatever. The guy doesn't even care about football anymore.
Okay,
sure,
so you're
I
don't
win that division.
See, I told you he was smoking something other than me.
Wait a minute. All right, how do I say this? Carolina has that defense coming right back. The only piece that they're missing is Norman. That defense comes right back. And you went to Auburn University, and you're calling Cam a joke? You are the biggest Cam supporter. How do you do this right now?
I'm turning on him after what he did to me at the Super Bowl. I'm bitter.
Oh, God.
Look,
I don't know.
The real
man
is that.
Yeah, I'm
smoking and drinking something that he's not supposed to. Go check back in, man. Bad. There's no way anybody can say Cam Superman is a joke. I mean,
you guys all
don't
saw
forget
the Super Bowl where the ball was on the ground. The ball was on the ground. Every one of y'all saw this, and Cam didn't dive for the ball. Y'all
that hurt my heart. That hurt my heart. That hurt my heart.
Thank you.
I'm not a Panther fan, but if it's the Super Bowl, I feel like he should have dove for the ball. You're correct.
Exactly.
Like he should have went after that, but I don't know.
And Pete Carroll should have gave the ball to Marshawn Lynch. And let's see. Frank O'Hare should have never made the immaculate reception. Come on, guys.
I'm not holding that against Cam. Don't think I'm holding that against Cam, like, for the rest of his career. I'm just saying that I feel like he could have jumped on the ball knowing that Denver's defense was what won the Super Bowl. Forget it, because it wasn't Peyton Manning. I'm not looking at it. Peyton Manning threw for less than 150 yards. All Cam had to do was throw another touchdown pass. They'd have probably been in position to win that game. Like, I don't look at it as Peyton with the proper send-off. But Von Miller won the MVP. Just think about that. Peyton Manning on the field, and he didn't even get the MVP. Just think about that. So
now, here's the only thing I'll ask the panel. Do you guys think that they told Cam Newton not to fall on that ball, that type of thing, to give Peyton Manning a winner on the way out, so maybe Cam will get one down the line, so maybe we will see Cameron Newton again in the Super Bowl, Cameron Gerald Newton?
I said that's Matt, right?
Yeah.
I said it, Ty, me and Ty both said it. And I told Ty off air before the season even started that Denver was going to win the Super Bowl and that it was good, that and Manny was going to retire. That's the way the NFL wanted. And I'm not saying they told him not to jump on the ball, but something was fishy in the season before it even started.
Well, guys, you know, conspiracy theories, I think, I mean, you know, come on. We play, you know, the sport, as Herm Douglas puts it, we play to win. Hey, I'm sure, you know, all you guys have been in different sports situations where, you know, you thought something else should have happened. He might have been caught up in the moment. Maybe, you know, he should dive for the ball. We all know that. I mean, that's, you know, but to say that he consciously made a decision or was told, you know, not to do that. So what you're saying is that he was told to fumble and then not dive on the ball, you know, and then, you know, somebody phoned down to the coaches and told them, hey, the game is too close. I mean, come on. You know, too many things have to happen. I mean, you know, what is this, the perfect form?
I know a lot of stuff in sports have happened crazy, though, James. It has happened crazy. Listen, you mean to tell me, though, listen, Cam has dominated every team all throughout the season, but then he gets to the Super Bowl, and then you hear the blueprint of what Chris Harris Jr. said. We were putting eight in the box and forcing him to throw the ball. That's why he walked off the podium. So now Cam can't make throws, but Cam was making throws all season long. And looking at that play, I know he wasn't told to fumble because they got to him. They got to him to make him fumble. But the way that he jumped back away from the ball, this is the Super Bowl. I don't know how you're scared to go after. You're big as the linemen are. He's as big as the linemen are. Cam Newton is 6'6". Listen, he's 6'6", 260. That's a big dude. That's a big dude. And listen, the game is on the line here. This is what y'all playing for, the ring. Like, I don't know why he would jump back away from the ball. But just like you said, there's so many things that need to happen. But that in question, also looking at the game that Peyton Manning played, that offense wasn't really doing anything, and they still were able to win off of the running game of Hillman. Like, really? Like, that's what the offense really had with Hillman in the running game?
Well, Hillman didn't win MVP. Denver won on their defense. And that's
– Right. No, I actually said that. I defense won the Super Bowl. I said that here today.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it wasn't like Denver's offense went out there and did a whole bunch of things. But, you know, that's it. Sometimes, you know, the state's too big. And I mean, you know, people – People have a right to their opinion. I'm just saying, you know, I just think it's a stretch. That's just my opinion.
Okay, well, like I said, we just got back into the swing of things back in here in Sports City, so I'm feeling good that we can finally get this football culture back in here. And like I said, I don't want to start doing predictions now. I think I'll probably get a prediction probably in a week or two, in 2 weeks, around week three. I want to see week three of the playoffs the preseason, where a lot of these players get more time out there, seeing how these offenses and defenses look, and give a strong prediction as need be here in Sports City. I don't want to do any predicting now, but it's interesting right now, Sports City, this might be a historic Sports City. At one time on the show, I have a Steeler, I have a Brown, and I have a Raven fan all in the show at one time. Interesting. We have a division rival. All we need is a Cincinnati fan here, and this might be a war, people. This might be a war. Okay, so we are at the tail end of the show. I need plugs, close off anything that you guys would like to promote as we shut it down. James, since this is your first time calling in, I thank you for calling in from California bright and early in the morning. Thank you for supporting us, showing us some love from the West Coast. Anybody you'd like to shout out or say before we shut it down, here at the brunch.
Glad to talk sports with you guys. I do have my own show here on Blog Talk Radio. It's called The Sports Crib. You can catch us on Thursdays from 6 to 8. We also have a presence on Facebook, The Sports Crib, and The Pugilist Corner. Great talking sports with you guys, and I look forward to possibly visiting you again next week, now that I know you have a Ravens fan on.
Uh-oh. Look, you're going to start a war in here. That's crazy. And are you guys on 6 to 8 Pacific or Eastern Standard?
6 to 8 Pacific time.
Okay. We'll definitely have to come check you out, show you some support, man. Definitely throw the word around about us out there on your show as well and on the West Coast also, because as you can see, it gets hot in the kitchen. That's for sure. You got an AFC North battle already here in the kitchen. You're already talking about the Ravens, so I can just picture how it's going to go down when he throws his shout-out. Matt, plug, close-out shout-out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down, here at the brunch.
All right, I was just kidding about the Steelers. They're too good. There's no way they'll have that record. I just hope that they do. Their wide receivers are too stacked. Cleveland's lowly. They're going to be in the cellar. But we're 0-0 right now, so we got to believe. So go Browns, and it's good to have a new guy on the show. I hope you keep it going. Y'all have a good rest of your Sunday.
You too, Matt. And last but not least, Tommy, you already know what to do. Shut it down here at the brunch.
Bishop, glad to talk sports, but football's still here. Of course, I'm still in baseball mode. My Nationals are leading the East. Like I've said before, something's got to be done with Bryce. Get an MRI, check something out. I don't want to see this kid ruin his career over something senseless that could be fixed. Not much more. Hopefully we can get in here tomorrow, Ty.
That's for sure. I had more topics to bring up. One topic I wanted to talk about was the Olympics, and something that's actually not severely personal to me, but somewhat personal to me because I am a Detroit Lions fan. In the Olympics, in one of the qualifying heats, David Best ran in the 100-meter dash, and it didn't pan out too good. he got off to a good start. He was ahead of Usain Bolt, and, well, Usain Bolt tracked him down like the animal that he is. I tell you, I do want to get into some of this real stuff. And looking at how fast Javon Best was on a football field, that football speed ain't nothing compared to track speed. Let me tell you, if you did not see the 100-meter yard dash with them going at it, please watch Javon Best get out to a good lead and just get squashed. So that track speed is ridiculous. Also, the
watch
men's basketball
tonight, watch tonight. Watch Gatlin. I'm telling you, he's got the speed to beat Bolt.
I don't No, I don't think so. Bolt is an animal. That is not a human being. You think Bolt is an impala or he's a cheetah. Listen, in that qualifying meet that he ran, there were three people in front of him that had a big lead. He caught them and got to the finish line and started jogging.
USA. Tom was faster than Bolt.
Okay.
We did
see Usain Bolt run a 9. He ran a 9 in a 100-meter dash.
His time last night was 10.7. Was 10.1.
We will see. We will be right back here in Sports City. I'm USA all day. I'm USA all day, but I know an animal when I see one. Usain Bolt ain't fair. And also, shout out to Michael Phelps, too. Michael Phelps said that he will not compete anymore in the Olympics, and he got his 23rd gold medal. I did want to get to – I had all of these Olympic topics that I want to bring up. I'll bring up some of this tomorrow as a wrap-up. Y'all come in here 7 p.m. Eastern Standard, excuse me. And we'll get into all of this, man. But like I said, Sports City, they're going with Gatlin. I'm American, but I know Usain Bolt is an animal. I want to see if he runs another 9. Let's put that. Who gets a 9 on the board? That's what it is. That is what it is. SportsCityChef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog. The chef will be back here tomorrow with the Monday night sport wrap. On that note, tell a friend that this is Chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Oh, welcome to Sports City. TP Thomas is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Thomas holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to back. Rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning.
It's a Sports City Chef with Sunday the Brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy this everybody. Don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark, the Moses, and TP Thomas.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, and 2 hours of facts.